Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the House of Jezebel Book Podcast. I am Jakeitha Farmer, your host, and author of The House of Jezebel, Fulfilling Destiny in Spite of Your Upbringing. If this is your first time joining with us, I welcome you, and I would encourage you to please go back and listen to our previous podcast so you can keep up with what we're talking about as we proceed. You can visit our website at www.thehouseofjezebel.com to listen to the previous podcast, as well as learn more about the book, view the trailer, and more. We look forward to seeing you there. Now let's go into our main topic. I'm super excited about today's show. It's going to be a continuation of what we were talking about in our last episode entitled Writing Ain't Easy. I want to kind of piggyback off of that because in that episode, I talked about the spiritual awakening process, the dark night of the soul, and how I had been through so many in this particular lifetime, and the process of writing The House of Jezebel, which has taken not 15 years, like I said in the last show, it's been more like 17 because it started around the year 2000. So in this episode, I want to continue with that topic. Talk more about how did I move from being this diehard Christian fanatic to being a mystic. So what is a mystic and what is the difference in mindsets between a mystic and a traditional believer? And I want to share a clip from a television show that I have been led to watch. It's one of several over the last several years that I've been drawn to. And it's actually called Supernatural. It is common. I think it's on a CW channel. Yeah, it's on the CW television network. So I'm going to share a clip from that and share back when I begin to go through my spiritual awakening and begin to redefine my beliefs about God, about Jesus, about Satan. I kind of want to read from you the mindset I was in actually a year ago, back in May of 2016, where I decided to kind of document what do I believe now, what from these processes that I've gone through and the awakening and the dreams and the visions at one point in at the end of September of 2015 through the beginning of February of 2016, I had at least seven dreams back to back, and each one was revealing something about my life, the past life, my childhood, you know, where I'm going forth. And all of this has played a factor or a role in my spiritual awakening. So I want to continue with that process. Before I get into the clip for Supernatural, I want to share a little insights about the actual writing process at the beginning with the House of Jezebel, in like in the first maybe 10 years or so. Yeah, that's about right. I mean, maybe the first 10 to 15 years, I struggled with writing because one, I didn't want to write about this topic. I didn't want to write about Jezebel. I was more fearful of retaliation in the spirit realm or what have you. And then a lot of the experiences, the paranormal experiences that I had gone through, I felt like, you know, in all these years, no one has ever come forth, you know. And this is why I was talking about earlier about being drawn to Supernatural. In the last probably 5 years, I've been drawn to certain shows to watch to help me realize that what I went through was very much real. It's not crazy. There are people out there who've experienced it. They may not be publicly sharing it, but it is a reality that most people are not aware of. So I started, as I'm writing these paranormal experiences from my childhood, from even from my adulthood, I was writing about things that I'm like, this is not in the Bible. Where do I go to find the answers? And so about 5 years over the past, maybe between 3 to 5 years, I've been led to different shows to watch. And one of them was called A Haunting. And it falls under the Discovery Channel Network. I think it falls under the channel Investigative Discovery. And it's called A Haunting. And it's actually real-life reenactments of people who have either been possessed or they have moved into these homes that have spiritual entities that have remained at the home. Sometimes there are quote-unquote good ghosts, and sometimes there are demonic entities that are present. So that was one show I was led to. And then after that, I was like really, really drawn to want to watch the all 5 seasons of Ghost Whisperer. And for like 3 or 4 months, that's all I did. You know, every week I need to watch the next episode of the next series of episodes. And I got through that. And when I got through, I'm like, okay, God, you know, really? Why did I do that? So I went from there to Charm with the three sisters. Then I went from there to Supernatural. So all of these shows have been, I've been led to watch them. So in Supernatural, which is one I've just started watching, so I'm still behind. I'm not up to date. I can't remember what episode they're on now. I think they're up to season 12. Well, the clip I'm going to actually share with you, if I'm not mistaken, is a little bit older. Maybe season 6 or 7. I'm not sure. I'll look it up and let you know. But I just wanted you to know that, so you'll know why I'm sharing this clip from Supernatural with you. Okay, before I play the clip, which is actually going to be from season 9, episode 3, called I'm No Angel, for Supernatural, before I show that clip to you, I want to give you a background, because some of you may not be familiar with that particular television show. According to the IMDb.com, Supernatural, in this one short sentence, is about two brothers follow their father's footsteps as hunters, hunters is in quotations, fighting evil supernatural beings of many kinds, including monsters, demons, and gods, lowercase g, that roam the earth. Okay, that's the short version of what it's about. A little bit more of a description is from Wikipedia. Supernatural. This haunting series follows the thrilling yet terrifying journeys of Sam and Dean Winchester, two brothers who face an increasingly sinister landscape as they hunt monsters. After losing their mother to a supernatural force, the brothers were raised by their father as soldiers who track mysterious and demonic creatures. Violent memories and relationship-threatening secrets add additional burdens on Sam and Dean as they investigate all things that go bump in the night. As old tricks and tools are rendered useless and friends betray them, the brothers must rely on each other as they encounter new enemies. So now, the clip is between a character named Castiel and the woman he's talking to is named Linda. Castiel was introduced into the Supernatural television series around the 4th season, okay? So his role, also according to Supernatural, his role is he is considered an angel of the Lord. He was used to introduce the theme of Christian theology to the series. Castiel brings Dean Winchester, that's one of the brothers, back from hell and frequently helps him and his brother Sam in their battles with various demons and angels along the way. During his travels with the Winchesters, Castiel develops friendships with both men. As an angel, he possesses a number of supernatural abilities, including the ability to kill demons. Initially, the character demonstrates complete devotion to God and little emotion. However, his interactions and experiences with Dean Winchester and with Sam, as well as certain revelations about God and his fellow angels, have a humanizing effect on him. This, despite the stress and harm it causes his character, allows him to develop an independent will as the series progresses and helps the show address topics related to free will. Okay, so I am going to get ready to play the clip entitled I'm No Angel. It's from season 9, episode 3 of Supernatural. Just to let you know, there are only two people present. There is Castiel and there is a woman named Linda. Okay, remember, Castiel is an angel of the Lord. And because of his experiences, he was introduced into the show around the 4th season. So this is season 9. So at this point in this particular part of the show, he is actually in a human body. Okay, he's still an angel in a sense. He's still an angel, but he has a human body. So things that we take for granted as far as eating and going to the restroom, he's getting a chance to experience that aspect of life. So if you listen to him talk, it may sound kind of strange at first. This is what he's struggling with. The two of them are meeting in a church. So at the beginning, you may hear footsteps where he's walking into the church. This woman is already present and she's praying for someone. So that's where I'm going to leave you as I get ready to play the clip entitled A Section of I'm No Angel, Episode 9, Season 3 from Supernatural. Enjoy.
Please, Lord. Mike is such a good man. Please send your angels to heal him. Thank you for hearing me. Amen.
Mike is your husband?
He's very sick.
Yes, humans. So fragile. I never realized how fragile until recently.
I guess that's why we pray. You get dealt such a bad hand sometimes. You need something stronger than yourself.
That's a wonderful idea. But
what?
What if you were to find out that no one is listening? That God pretty much left? That heaven had gone out of business? What would you do?
But that's not possible.
No, I think it's completely possible.
You're missing the point. It's not possible. Because I have my faith.
But when I tell you the truth.
Your truth. Not mine. Your lack of faith doesn't cancel what I believe. That's not how it works. You know, I think you might feel better if you tried it my way. Someone is listening.
Well, my. Oh, this takes me back to a particular scripture in the New Testament. Hebrews 13, 1 through 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Oh, Linda. Linda is not aware that she is speaking to an angel, a true angel. She is not aware that she is talking to angels. Now, I understand that Castiel is a character in a television show, but there was an archangel. There was an angel. Actually, in the Book of Enoch and in some of the other esoteric or secret readings, there was an angel. Matter of fact, from beliefnet.com, there is an angel. There is an archangel named Castiel, and his name means the speed of God. He is patron, a patron angel for the oppressed, the downtrodden, the impoverished, the enslaved, the unjustly prosecuted, and for orphan children. He usually arrives in your life when you are at your darkest hour. Doesn't that sound like Linda? Her husband is a very, very sick. Feeling abandoned by all that you hold dear. When your heart is heaviest and overflowing with tears, Castiel appears to help shoulder the burden of your woes and keep feelings of hopelessness at bay. He asked her a very, very important question, because you also have to remember, as I told you earlier, and as I read from Wikipedia about his character, because it says that as a result of him helping Dean and Sam through various issues of fighting various monsters and demons and even having to fight fellow angels, if you've ever seen the show, it has a humanizing effect on him. And in this particular episode, he is a human, and he is he doesn't have a job, so he's homeless. He hasn't figured out how to find food. So it's very humanizing for him. And so he goes into this church, and he feels like a very alone, very, in a sense, abandoned. And he's asking Linda, hey, what would you do if you were to find out that no one is listening, that God had left and that heaven had pretty much gone out of business? What would you do? And her answer was, of course, you know, I have my faith. And she clearly lets him know that that's his truth, and then there's her truth. So I said all that to say that as I share with you my beliefs from the spiritual awakening process that I've gone through, these are my truths. They're not the truth. And it's ironic enough, a book that I'm reading, that I had just started reading, this guy is sharing a sentence in this book that's very relevant to that as well. He tells people, as they begin to read his book, he makes it quite clear, these, what I have to say are my truths about our spiritual life. There are many doorways to the truth. My truths come from a combination of great wisdom from multitudes of people who have graced my life as clients. And that was from the book Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton. But basically, I agree with him that I want you to know these are my truths. But the Christian faith teaches you there is the truth. So they have one truth that they believe in. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. But I just want you to know, as we go forth, I want to be sharing what my beliefs were a year ago as I began to start documenting some things. And I also want to identify the two types of characters in this show. They kind of fit into two categories of Christianity, one of which is called esoteric. So Linda, with her, you know, I have my faith, and if you would consider thinking things my way, she would fall more under a exoteric, E-X-O-T-E-R-I-C, exoteric version of Christianity. And that is Christianity that deals with the letter or the surface meaning of the teachings of Jesus, okay? Esoteric, E-S-O-T-E-R-I-C, esoteric, is Christianity that deals with the deeper truths that Jesus taught. Castiel is dealing with a deeper truth, okay? Linda is dealing more with, you know, I have my faith. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he is painting a picture for her saying, God has left, heaven's out of business, what are you going to do? And she is still saying, I have my faith. I still believe. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing either one of them. I'm just saying, I've been in both places. I know where Linda's coming from, but Lord knows I understand where Castiel is coming from, okay? So that brings me to, where does mystical Christianity fit into this? Remember I told you there's esso, which is deeper truth, and exo, which is more of a surface level of understanding. If you go on the internet and try to figure out which one of the mystical areas that mystical Christianity falls, I would think it falls on the esoteric, which are the deeper truths. But if you do it like a Google search, you'll see some people say, well, no, I don't believe. I'm going to put it on the esoteric Christianity, okay? And I also want to share from an article entitled, What is Mysticism? It is on RondaLaRue.com, RondaLaRue.com. And it's called, What is a Mystic or What is Mysticism? And I'm going to share a couple of excerpts from this to give you a better understanding of where I have evolved to as I'm writing The House of Jezebel. So here we go. I'm going to be jumping around for this article. But it says, a mystic is one who, above all else in life, desires to know, not in the intellectual sense of knowing, the deepest truth, capital T, of existence. A mystic is one who senses more to life than making a living or being of service in the world, although these things are both necessary and good. The mystic, however, is looking beyond an exclusive or preoccupied focus on the survival / self-actualization desires to something more. He's looking to discover the deepest truths of our being as an incarnate soul. to understand our greatest potential as reflections of God, to realize our wholeness within the ground, capital G, of all, capital L. The primary interest in life for the mystic is to discover truth, to know God, and to see into man's whole nature. The mystic sees all of life as an abundant opportunity to discover, realize, and express the divine. The mystic consciously enters into the sacred journey that all of the world's greatest religions speak of in various ways. Some call it becoming awakened, enlightened, or born again. It is an inner journey that requires a deconstruction of the conditioned illusions of separation so that the true feeling of living can emerge. It is the true meaning of being born anew. It is the process and realization of letting die our stale and conditioned habits and beliefs so that we may live in the fullness of each new moment of creation, with a capital C. I'm going to jump down to let go of the illusions of ego identity and stand naked before our true ordinary nature often requires a removing of oneself from typical ways of living and thinking, at least for a time. In the sacred literature, this is often referred to as entering the wilderness, facing the dark night of the soul, annihilation of the ego, or dying to oneself to be born again. It takes a process of fundamental transformation, of conscious understanding that the mystic takes on. This journey takes to successively deconstruct the layers of conditioning that block true awareness. And what emerges from this inner journey of realization or awakening can often look and sound very mysterious, if not downright confusing, to the uninitiated and linear minds. Let me stop. This is why Linda could not grasp what Cassiel was saying to her. He understood her, but she did not understand him, okay? She's not understanding the deeper truths that he's coming from. So let's continue. It says, but in truth, it is the deeper meaning upon which all of the world's greatest religions have their original foundation. It is the journey to discovering and experiencing direct relationship with or as God, as our source of all creation. It is each individual soul coming to directly know itself within the divine. It is the fulfillment of our purpose, which states, I and my Father are one. Didn't Jesus say that? Yeah. Okay, let me jump down a little bit more. Throughout all of history, mystics have been our way showers, those who go before, those who see beyond, and those who seem so often to speak in riddles. They are those who have lifted the veil of worldly illusion to experience a deeper truth and wisdom of being, capital B. The mystic is not so much concerned with survival as with coming to realize the full potential of being. The mystic is seeing direct realization of truth even within a dynamic, evolving, great mystery, capital G, capital M. The mystic finds the eye of the needle and enters into the realization of the kingdom of God within. Remember what I said earlier? It is the fulfillment of our purpose. I and my Father are one. That came from Rhonda LaRue, RhondaLarue.com website, for an article entitled, What is a Mystic? Oh, we have so much more to go to. So, that note, guys, I really have to stop. I still have so much more I want to share with you. So I guess we're going to be going into a third episode on the topic of writing ain't easy when you're going through a spiritual awakening. I will begin the next show piggybacking off of mysticism, Jesus was a mystic, and sharing my renewed beliefs about God and Jesus and Satan. I want to elaborate more on the deeper truth that Cassiel was sharing, and I want to talk about some universal truths. On that note, I'm going to say goodbye. I am Jakeitha Farmer, author of The House of Jezebel, Fulfilling Destiny in Spite of Your Upbringing. Please be sure to visit the site at www.thehouseofjezebel.com to listen to the previous podcast and to learn more about the book. I had so much fun, y'all. I love you guys. Until next time, peace, love, and oneness.